Blog Talk Radio.
Doing good, lady. You know what I'm saying? They finally let me out of, you know, Blog Talk jail and everything. You know what I'm saying? You only put none on my book, so I feel a certain way, but it's cool.
Good evening, good evening, and happy Sunday. Welcome again to the Tiebreaker Radio Show. I'm your host with the most, Shug, S-H-U-G to be exact. Got a lot of things to talk about today. Second night of the NBA playoffs going on right now, the first round. A couple of good touring lines here going. Let me see if I got anybody in the chat room right now. Nope. Not yet. So we're going to keep on going here. So, like, I think everything just went final here for the playoffs. So we got Golden State versus the Blazers. Golden State winning game one. Cavs taking care of game one at home as well. Chicago actually upsetting Boston at home in the Garden. That was a real good one. Rockets up, 32 right now. 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. All right, and the Wizards win at home against the Hawks. All right, so first topic that we have on today is going to be and also, we got the NFL. Looks like Marshawn Lynch is trying to force his way back into the NFL. And Seahawks seem to be willing to trade him. So the only question is, what team does he go to? Lots of reports have him linked to the Patriots. He said he would like to play for Patriots. Of course, the Raiders. It was actually a nice little Twitter battle with Jalen Richard and I forget who the other person was showing pictures of them, Marshawn Lynch, after Beast Mode's kind of. So I want to start off with the playoffs right now. Utah beating the Clippers. Now that was one that I didn't understand. Rudy Gobert goes down, so I'm thinking that the Jazz don't have a chance at all. And the Jazz keep it close. So I don't know what it was with the Clippers. They seem to have the game in control for most of the time. But Rudy Gobert going down didn't seem to slow up the Jazz. And Joe Johnson on a game-winning shot. All right, I think we got somebody trying to call in right now. Oh, yeah, give me 1 second. Let me get him in there. Right. Also, something I wanted to touch on. Paul George, who was left off, who I believe, I haven't really checked yet, but I said it was a story that was out by Fox News, that he was set to potentially lose $70 million in bonuses because of the same clause that was in LaMarcus Aldridge, I believe, contract, which states that he had to make either MVP, be selected most improved player, I believe, or be on all NBA teams, which this year, let's see, I don't believe Paul George was left on it. Now, I looked at a mock NBA, all-NBA roster there that left Paul George off it, but that wasn't official. Well, we got Ryan in there. Ryan, Mr. 330, what up?
What's up? How you doing?
I'm chilling, man. Just in here rambling by myself, man. I started off with basketball, though. You know, I think the Thunder, about 2 minutes from losing game one to the Rockets, bad by like 32 points last time I checked.
Oh, yeah, they're going to lose, yeah.
I was kind of waiting for that one to go final before we got into it. The first thing I was talking about was Paul George and his potential to lose $70 million during his next contract for not making the All-NBA teams. Now, was the All-NBA team, do you know if it was put out official yet?
I have not seen anything official at all.
Right. So, yeah, that was just story by Fox News, I believe it was, Fox Sports News.
Yeah, I've seen people have projections, and I've seen actually different orders of those projections because even how we were talking about DeMarcus Cousins, like I've seen him on some of the lists. So I've seen different variations of that. But, yeah, it looks like it's all predictions at this point.
Right. So, yeah, I think the one I'll let you guys see, I think I posted in the chat that had let's see, forwards, of course, Kawhi Leonard and LeBron on the first team. And then it was Jimmy Butler and Giannis was on the second team. I forget who was on the third. I think it was, Draymond and Kevin Durant. So it's kind of hard to argue, you know, with all six of those forwards in front of him. But in all honesty, Paul George is better than at least two of those, at least three of those. I'd say with probably the exception of Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant, Paul George
right.
has the potential to be just as good or better than all of those guys. Again, nothing's come out yet, but, yeah, what do you think about that? Again, that happened with LaMarcus Aldridge last year, right?
Yeah, but I feel like with him it was a little bit closer. It's a little bit different because, like, when they name those players, it gets kind of interesting how they put the positions. Even with Paul George, it's like sometimes in the lineup they have him as small forward, sometimes they have him as shooting guard. So I don't know if when it comes to the NBA, like, first team, second team, third team, how they really classify him. If they're classifying him on that same line as Jimmy Butler, I just don't see how he's not over Jimmy Butler. That's just my opinion. But, you know, I mean, if they're saying, like, okay, we're just putting him in as a guard, I could more so see him in there not getting in as a guard because you had Westbrook, Harden, it was Curry, Isaiah Thomas, Chris Paul, John Wall. Even if with a John Wall, you may be able to say, like, okay, PG might be able to get in. But when it came to, like, the forwards, I really, like, are you looking for, did you just, when you threw Draymond Green in there, were you just looking for a bigger forward? Like, are you trying to say, like, a small forward and power forward, like, how are they really ranking these? Because based upon the first team, James Harden is no longer a shooting guard. So you have Russell Westbrook and James Harden. So are you just saying guards? Or are you saying point guards?
I think it
is. Guard?
Like,
I don't really know how they're ranking. I don't know if they're doing it like the all-star where it's not really, I'm getting a point guard and a shooting guard. I'm just getting guards. So it really just depends on what they're trying to do. That's where
I believe it's generic. For the All-NBA team, I think it's always been generic. They go guard, forward, the two guards, two forwards, and one center, even though the All-Star
game
doesn't.
Okay, so it doesn't matter if it's small or power forward, is what you're saying.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah, if it doesn't
Kawhi
matter if it's small
will,
or power forward, then PG has to get in at least, if not over Jimmy Butler, definitely over Draymond Green. No disrespect to him at all, but definitely over Draymond Green. It's not a team in the league that would say, like, they would pick Draymond Green or Paul George.
The Warriors will. You know, the Warriors will say what they say.
They would be the only
one.
Own
team.
Yeah, they'd be the only
right.
one.
So, Paul George this year, 23, basically 24 points, 1.5 steals, 3 assists, 6 rebounds, and he's shooting 90% from the free throw line, 46% field goal, about 40% from the three-point, 39% from the three-point, pretty good in 75 games this year. Draymond Green, meanwhile, in 76 games, just 10 points with 2 turnovers per game. So that's the same as Paul George, even though he probably doesn't have as many ball handling duties as Paul George. Two steals for Draymond, seven assists, seven rebounds. So, I mean, you line it up. I like that, you know, people go for the stats, those big, like he has seven rebounds, seven assists, and almost averaging a triple-double, but just he's not better than Paul George.
Yeah, and if you just basing it off of the position, if they saying forward, I would honestly say you probably have a better argument of knocking Paul George off if you're trying to put him in the guards. But if they trying to put him in the forward position, yeah. I mean, like I said, if you try to put him in the guards, like maybe John Wall, and then even at that, you know what I'm saying? That's a debatable if you want to do, you know what I'm saying, do that. But at the small four, he has to be over at least Jimmy Butler or Draymond. Like, to me, just feels like he has to be over one of those two.
And then again, it's not. I'm not even basing it off of who's just better, because these awards are usually for who's having a better year, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Got it. And I don't think it's any argument for Kevin Durant, because even though he's having a down year for Kevin Durant, I guess. Still 25, eight rebounds, and five assists. You know, he's been doing his thing. I wouldn't argue going over, like I said, KD,
right.
Kawhi, or LeBron. Anybody else's argument. Okay. So
yeah.
Jumping to the next topic here, I wanted to jump off of basketball really quick and switch it up to the NFL. So Marshawn Lynch, Beast Mode. I know you was excited about the Raiders moving to Las Vegas, right?
Definitely.
How you feel about Marshawn Lynch? Do you want him? I mean, I know the answer is yes, you want him to come play for the Raiders, but you think that he could actually do something for the Raiders? The Raiders had a really good year last year, and, you know, a lot of people picked them to at least get to the AFC Championship game, maybe challenge the Steelers or the Patriots. It was them three teams that were talking about coming out of the AFC. You think that Marshawn could put them over that hump?
I think that they can. I think that if Carr would have been healthy, that would have been them facing the Patriots.
Exactly.
So, you know, being that they have Marshawn Lynch, they lost their starting running back, but I mean, he was hurt throughout the season too. He definitely did a good job. Like, he had a great season, though. But they have their backup Washington. Like, he's no slouch, and they have another running back, too, that's no slouch. So I feel like Marshawn's not going to take on the whole load. And in this way that they're playing now, even with the Raiders, even when, you know what I'm saying, they had both of the running backs last year, they still use the two-back system. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like he's going to be able to be that guy for them. And like I said, really, to me, their only problem, if Carr would have been in there, they would have been in a conference final. They would have lost to the Patriots, like I predicted. Neither here nor there, but but they would have been there. I think it's really good. My main thing is, if I'm not mistaken, this year they'll still be playing in Oakland, right?
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, I mean, this year, I mean, he's in front of his hometown, you know, and everything. So I think it'll be exciting, you know, sold out crowds and everything. It's going to be a good year for them. I actually probably just looking at it now would project them to be the team to play the Patriots in the AFC Championship if they get him, depending on what they have to give up.
Right. So they got Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington, who ran for them last year. Last year they also had Latavius Murray, who ran for 12 touchdowns and about 800 yards, but he's not expected to return, I don't believe. He would fill that void. And Richard is that he's already that speed back, you know, that guy. So I think you're right on that point. Now, speaking of Patriots, as you were saying, it appears that, you know, he does have other options. Said he's, I think it was a tweet. Let me go to it. Yeah, a tweet by, I think somebody, a guy named Jeff Ho, he said he's privately expressed interest in playing for the Patriots if talks break off with the Raiders. And keep an eye on that. I really think that that's just somebody, you know, a Patriots fan just throwing it out there as a Patriots writer, but because there hasn't been anything that Marshawn said on it, really, has it?
No, and I feel like it would really have to be a bad situation. I mean, he's been saying about Oakland since day one, and that's where he's from. So, and it's not like it's not one of those, oh, I'm going to my hometown team and they're terrible. Like, you're going to a hometown team and they're actually like a contender to win the whole thing. Like, I don't think they're going to win, but I, you know, if they do get to there, you know what I'm saying? It's not,
it's not a
big deal. Like, it wouldn't be a surprise. Maybe last year if they would have got to the championship, it would have been a surprise. But if they get to it this year, it wouldn't be a surprise because they're on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to a good team. You know, you got everything that's going in the right direction. So I feel like him going there would be great for him and for the city. But then at the same time, like, I feel like him, if he had to leave there, would just be something that would be just money-wise or, you know, they wouldn't be able to get the job, like, you know what I'm saying, they wouldn't be able to get the trade done. I don't think it would be having anything to do with him not being able to, not wanting to go there.
All right. Word. So peace to beast mode, you know, just show up so you don't get fined. I don't care who he is. To be honest, I really don't want him to play for the Patriots, but I'll be happy just to see him back in the league, man. I think the league needs a guy like him for other reasons too, man. He's not one of those, you know, corporate guys say everything right. For real, he do his own thing. He ain't for nobody but really himself and, you know, like he said, the people that care about him, his family. Piece of beast mode.
Mm-hmm.
Switching gears back to the NBA, since everything just looks like it went final, man, that Saturday was a nice, it was a crazy Saturday. First of all, the Raptors got upset at home against the Bucks, which I kind of don't see as too much of an upset because the Bucks match up really well with a lot of teams that don't have dominant big men. A nice post game. The Spurs take care of the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies kind of made it look interesting. And then the Cavs win on a last second miss by C.J. Miles. Man, peace. Speaking of Paul George said he should have took that shot. He wanted that. He said he called for it. He okay with him shooting it. He just, you know, himself, he wanted that. What do you think about that game? And I know you watched it down to the wire. What's your thoughts?
I mean, I feel like the Cavs should have been up by a lot more. They didn't play really good defense at all. They didn't hit free throws. So they left the door open for the Pacers. I don't really think it's going to be that close of a series. The thing is, I feel like the games will be close, but the overall final won't be that close. Like, I feel like it's going to be five games to Cavs. At the most, six, but I think five games. But I think the games will all be competitive. But at the end, I just don't feel like – I feel like the Pacers need Paul George to just have outrageous games for them to win. And I give him – credit for at least being able to pull out at least one game. I feel he got it in him, you know, in Indiana, and then, like I said, possibly they could get two, but I don't, you know, at the most, that's what it would be in my behind.
How you feel about him wanting that last shot? And then LeBron saying, yeah, if it was me, I would have passed it. Basically, he said, I would have got it to the open guy. You do the math. That would leave four on three.
LeBron's known for passing up the shot, so I'm not really surprised that's his answer. But I feel like if Paul George really wanted the ball, he would have got it because I was looking at the replay, and he said, you know, they passed it over to C.J. Miles. If he really wanted the ball, he could have came back to get the ball. He didn't make an attempt at the ball. I do feel like Paul George
not hard enough. It was half of an attempt, but not good enough.
Yeah, I mean, it was like It was like somebody pump faking at you, throwing a little jab out there just to keep the man keep you honest, like make it look like you're about to do something. But it wasn't really a full attempt. And you know, I feel like if he really wanted to, he should have got that ball, but he didn't. And I feel like he's going to come out aggressive next game, but he blew that one to steal it. And I feel like the media is not harsh on him at all. I feel like if this would have been LeBron, it would have been all blasted on the news. It would have been on every talk show. It would have been the talk of the town until the next game. But it's Paul George, so they're letting him get away with it. But, you know, I just feel like different things.
Well, they got
different
tables set, and you know, Paul George was out of Fresno State. He wasn't highly touted. He actually really worked hard to kind of get his name for him, and, you know, obviously coming back from those injuries. LeBron was, you know, he's been storied since he was high school, so that's going to come with it.
What I mean by that is, if you're the superstar of any team, if LeBron, they expect LeBron to be, if that LeBron was in that situation and he was to do that and he was to pass it to Kyle Korver or something, like he was to pass it to Kyle Korver or Shumpert, they'll be dogging him. Like, not even
but
based upon
it's
like,
just different
where he
types.
Came from. But it's not a, but see, when you in the league and you are all-star and you've been doing this and you're a superstar at this time, it's not about where you came from, it's about what you're doing now. So, like, if anybody else that's on LeBron's level, if they did that same thing, they would talk about it right then and there, but it's over with. LeBron would have did what he did, they'd be talking about it to Monday. They'd be talking about it to the
that
next
is true.
Game.
I ain't arguing that. I'm just saying that I think what you're kind of missing is that LeBron gets talked about as the best player in the league. And he talks about himself as the best player in the league now, you know. But it's always been that. Well, since he's come into the league, people have been saying he's one of the best in the league or going to be one of the best in the league. That's not necessarily true about Paul George. So when you have LeBron passing it up and Paul George passing it up, it's two completely different perspectives. Add on
but
to that
I'm
to the
saying,
fact that LeBron James is a champion already, and he's just known
that's
for doing
George.
That.
That's fine.
There's no history
that's
for Paul
fine.
George.
Yeah, that's fine. But, okay, I'll switch it from Paul George. It's if Steph Curry did that, and he passed it off, it was still wouldn't get talked about like it would be for LeBron.
It won't be talked about like LeBron. You're right.
And it was still and they just last year everybody was trying to say, oh, he was the best player in the league until LeBron won a championship, then everybody hopped right off that bandwagon. They still were, you know, respect the game, but they, you know what I'm saying, but it wouldn't have been talked about, and you was and people not you but you know, people were just saying he was the best player in the league. They didn't really think he was the best player in the league. What it was is that he was the best shooter in the league and they wanted to say that, but he was never the best player in the league. So,
no.
Even with him being that, like, you want to say he's the best player in the league, but if he would have passed the ball, if he would have passed it to Clay, like anybody that's on their team, it would have been, oh, he just passed the ball. But if LeBron did it, it's still a problem. Even if LeBron
it's
would
a problem.
To somebody like a Kevin Love, an all-star type player, it still would have been a problem.
True. All right, switching gears really quick, going to the Jazz and the Clippers series. I know a lot of people said, well, I don't know about y'all. I hear a lot of people, and I'm saying on Facebook, this is going to be one of the more boring series besides Memphis and the Spurs. A lot of people said they weren't getting up or too excited for this game, even though Utah's a pretty good team and the Clippers is on the hot seat. So 97-95 Jazz, the Jazz win on a Joe Johnson ISO Joe jump shot, or layup rather, drive to the lane. And I caught it in the chat. Thanks for my props,
Beach.
I caught it. I said if it come down to it, even with Rudy Gobert going down. So is this doomsday for the Clippers or just minor setback?
Well, I picked the Clippers to win So, I mean, for me, I'm going to say a minor setback. But, as I stated before, you know, it was one of those that if the Clippers lost, I wouldn't be surprised. But I feel like it's a minor setback. I feel like they may have came into the game and kind of, like, underestimated them. And then when the big man went down, they kind of felt like they had it, you know, in the palms of their hands. But I definitely feel like game two, you'll see that the Clippers will come out a lot more focused and handle business. I think they're winning the series, but I don't think that the center's going to come back for the rest of the series.
That's bad because the Clippers like to play above the rim. They need that. They do got some capable backups. Derek Favors, who isn't as tall and, you know, not as agile, but, you know, Utah is a hard-working team. They got Trevor Booker still on the squad, I believe, too. Maybe, or is he in New Jersey? Yeah, I think they still got Trevor Booker. But I really just, like, for real, I'm still amazed that it was – I forgot they had Joe Johnson on the team, and Joe's still doing it, man, on the last second shot. I think if Carmelo could have did what Joe Johnson is doing right now, found him a team where he could be – that just that guy that when it comes down to it and you need an ISO, you need one shot, he can do it for you, whether you got to come off the bench or play a third wheel or whatever.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah,
so,
definitely, I mean.
So you saying Clippers, what'd you say? Clippers in what, 6, 7, 5?
I'm saying Clippers in, I'd say Clippers in 7.
Seven games. I think Gordon Hayward going to put a stamp on one of these games, too. All right, yeah, we got 2 minutes and 50 seconds left of the live here. I'm going to switch it over to the Western Conference, or today's games, rather. Boring game. Not really boring, Hawks-Wizards, but the Hawks, I just don't believe in them. They're not a really – real to me, the Hawks is the worst playoff team to me. That's one team that I really just – don't want to watch, don't have any type of faith in. The Wizards, I'm actually happy for them because they get to say they beat somebody and get out the second round. 107 to 114 was a home. John Wall, 37 points, 14 assists. And, you know, they had some jawing going on. I guess Paul Millsap said, he said, we was playing basketball. They was playing WWE. Him and Markieff Morris got into it, got tangled up. I think Dennis Schroeder and John Wall got into it, exchanged words. You see the Wizards sweeping the Hawks, or is this going to be really a competitive series?
I mean, I don't see them sweeping. I got them going five games, but you know I got them going five games right now. I've never been a fan of the Hawks. The Hawks have, for some reason, to me, just been one of those teams that play really good in the regular season, and they have a good seeding, but they're not really a good team. Like another version of the Raptors. That's why I put in the chat that the Hawks would win that. It's like they play good in the regular season. They can get a good record, but when the lights are on or when it's really trying to play, they don't show up, you know. So I don't really have any faith in the Hawks at all. And I feel like the Wizards are really, to me, the Wizards are the second best team in the East. To me, personally, I think they're better than the Boston Celtics, and I think the Cavs are number one. But, you know, it's yet to be seen what's going to happen.
60 seconds left in the live feed here, but we're going to go over here, continue to talk about these NBA playoffs on this Easter Sunday. So the Bulls pulled out the game one and beat the Celtics on their home floor after, you know, rest in peace to Isaiah Thomas' sister. That was tragic. Happened on, you know, Easter. You know, the Celtics is a gritty team, though. You know, they were fighting with it. It was a game, the whole game. You can't say the Bulls dominated, but they ended up winning by 4 points. You think the Bulls beat the Celtics? You know, a lot. Isaiah Thomas, he was talking a lot of trash. He was saying people counting us out, saying they was the worst number one seed, which I don't agree with, but they're not the best. You know, nobody saw them as a number one seed. I don't think the Celtics put any fear in your heart. You see the Bulls upsetting them, though?
Prior to the series, it wasn't one of the wasn't one of the games that I said that, you know, I felt like was going to be an upset to where it was the bold predictions. But I can see it after watching game one. To me, the Bulls really didn't play well. That was my thing. It wasn't like the Bulls just played great and, you know, the Celtics played bad. Like, the Bulls didn't even really play well, and they still won.
The Bulls,
but my thing is, I feel that Jimmy Butler still has a great game in him. I feel Dwayne Wade still has a great game in him. So, with y'all just already winning the game one without either one of them just having a great game, I feel like it's a possibility to win. I'm still not going to say that they're going to win. I'll have the Celtics in six, but, you know, it's a possibility, you know. It's a possibility.
So you're saying Celtics in six still, but
I still have the Celtics winning.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. I still have the Celtics winning. But based upon what I said, don't be surprised if the Bulls pull it up.
Don't be surprised if the Bulls go ahead and upset them. I think it's going to go seven games, and this is going to be reminiscent of the series the first year the Big Three got together, KG, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce, and they went seven games with the young Derrick Rose, Ben Gordon, Joakim Noah. I remember that triple overtime game when Ben Gordon and Ray Allen was just going at it. It was crazy, like old UConn rivals, you know. And I think this is going to be that series. This probably this one and the Warriors Blazers, which we definitely about to talk about here in just a few seconds. I think this one and Warriors Blazers is going to be one of the best series in the first round. The Cavs series might end up being one of the most talked about, but for all the wrong reasons. The Cavs act like, I don't know, maybe that's just them this year. But they act like they don't know how to put their foot on people's necks. Remind me of the probably not the 2011 Lakers that lost to the Mavericks, got swept out, but the 2010 Lakers who ended up going five games with the Jazz and seven games with the Rockets and six games with the Nuggets. That's my assessment. But I think Chicago really – I think they pulled this one out. I think they beat Boston. Like I said, the Celtics, they don't put any fear in your heart. They just like the Jazz. They a hard-working team. That's it. They don't have any real stars. I like him, man. I really like his heart. I'd take him over a lot of players on my team. But I just think he's not enough. He's not enough. He's not going to be enough. Like you said, Jimmy got probably a good game anyway. Going to have a throwback game, and he's not going to be expecting it from him. I mean, it's not like Jimmy had a bad game, 30 points, you know, on 47% shooting. But, you know, you know he could probably, you know, for real, Jimmy hang his hat on defense, you know, the 9 rebounds that he had. To be honest, who Boston got to counter that, like, when they scoring? Isaiah Thomas, they could easily shut Isaiah Thomas down by putting somebody big on him.
And I feel like with that with that situation with Jimmy Butler, like, it's a difference in points. Like, I could tell you right now, I could be like, this person scored 35 points. But it's a difference in how you're scoring your 35 points. If you're scoring 35 points and everything is in clutch, it's like real, you know, like clutch point, three-pointers, whatever the case may be, that's one thing. Then you got some times where people are just hitting some free throws. Things are coming down to the end of the game. People hitting free throws and things like that. Not really affecting the game too much. It's a difference when you're doing a quiet 35 and then a 35 where you're applying pressure. Because when you're doing a 35 and you're applying pressure, then it opens up things for other people. But you getting 35, you may have got a tip in, rebound, which 35 is 35, isn't it? But when you're aggressive 35, you're opening up the floor and opening up other opportunities for other people. So your 35 may say 35 in the box score, but it could have opened up more points for other players.
True indeed.
I feel like with his 30 points, it was just, you know, quiet 30. It was still 30, but it was a quiet 30. It wasn't nothing like he was just going off or anything like that, which we know he can, but, you know,
okay.
It was what it was.
Switching gears, another Western, back to the Western Conference, Portland Golden State Warriors, Golden State at home, 121-109. Now, that outcome, that lap bass score does not tell the entire game. Swear, I know you watched it too, the entire game was lit.
Oh, yeah.
From start to finish. About a 4 minute mark in the 4 minute stretch in the fourth quarter where the game got out of hand. It was really Draymond Green and Kevin Durant and everybody, like, for real, it was the whole team. Draymond Green on defense. Kevin Durant hit timely shots. Steph Curry hit some threes on some scrambles. Klay Thompson was, you know, hitting some basic shots. They just have too many weapons, really, for Portland. I really feel bad for Portland because I think Portland in seven games could probably beat any other team besides the Warriors and the Spurs. The Warriors and the Spurs, just because of C.J. McCollum and Dame Lillard, they had, 60 points? Then they had, 50 points in the first half combined and ended
up
going.
Yeah, I think they only didn't account for, five or six of the first half points. It was a single-digit amount, whatever it was, in the first half points that they didn't account for.
Now, your boy Dame shot 46% from the field, which is actually really good, but, you know, somebody could nitpick at that and say, you know, 12 for 26 shots, but that's still pretty good, 7-for-7 free throws. You know, he scored 34 points, and he got, you know, just about 5 boards at the point guard position. C.J. McCollum had the real night. I'm so mad at shout out to Canton, Ohio. This night went raced it for him. 41 points, 4-for-6 from the three, shot 57% overall. 5 or 6 free throws, 8 rebounds. Man, he had a night. Obviously, no big assist numbers for nobody besides Evan Turner with 4. Do you think that's just a – you think Portland leaned too much on them? I think it goes without saying, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel like they do. And even the coach, when I was watching the halftime, when they was talking to Golden State and the players, it's like – you know, we know what they're going to do, but what we just going to have to do is try to contain them. They said we can't stop them. We can just try to contain them and then try to make sure none of the other players get off. You know, the other players will open up the floor by hitting threes and things like that. It's like some of those sometimes with those superstar-type players, it's like you just go let them get what they get, just try to contain them. And I feel like Portland, if they don't get other people involved, if other people don't start stepping up, then it won't even be a series. Honestly, like, I get what you're saying, where you were predicting for them to be a long series, but that's only if other people stand up. Like, I get for sure one game for Dame, and if this game would have been in Portland would have won. Because it would have got out of hand in the fourth quarter. If this was in Portland would have won. But the thing is that I give them at least one game, period. But the thing is they have to have other people step up. If other people don't step up, then this is going to be a quick series, very quick. I think maybe 5 games.
I don't like that. Well, Portland is on fire for the Blazers, man. They excited. They really don't like the Warriors. I gotta go to a game, bro, because they. I'm telling you, the Blazers got some of the best fans. I've been to a Cavs game before, and I know they kind of out of hand. But other than when the Lakers show up, man, the Blazers are rowdy. To be honest, I don't know if the Portland can stand up to them. This year's Golden State got too much. And it's a perfect storm for Golden State right now. I think the person I'd watch out for is if Evan Turner gets started. You know, he came out and hit 2 threes. If Evan Turner and maybe another bench player, maybe Allen Crabbe, Aminu, one of those guys can get going on their guys. Because, the worst defender, I think the strongest of two defenders is Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. You have JaVale McGee down on a post, but, you know, he's as good as he is, he's still a little bit of a clutch. So, you know, I think that if Aminu can draw, you know, KD maybe sometimes, maybe get a couple of fouls, or Allen Crabbe can hit some threes, I think maybe they can stretch the floor for Portland and steal a game or two. I say Golden State Warriors in six for this game. And they're going to push them hard. But Portland's just one or two players short.
Right. Definitely, that's how I feel.
Okay, last thing, man, I want to touch on is the kind of the Thunder game. It was bad. Bad look for Russell Westbrook, who I've been pushing. He's the MVP of the season, in my opinion. Been pushing for him. This did not look good for the resume, even though, again, it is the playoffs now. So 87-118, the Rockets. Now, the Rockets did set the record again. They just broke the Golden State Warriors record from last year, the 73-win team, for three-pointers in a season. Just smashed it. This game, let's see, they went overall 18 from 26 from deep. James hitting 8 of 11. Lou Williams, my guy, they stole from L.A., 5 for 7 from deep. A couple other guys had two. Ryan Anderson, even Patrick Beverly chipped in with one. So, like, I mean, damn near 40 points. Blowout. Now, Russ didn't play that bad, but he didn't shoot that well. You know, shooting just 26%, 6 of 23. You know, he forced it. They still got 11 rebounds, 7 assists. What do you think? What do you see about the outcome of this? Is this just what we already knew about this? You see it going sweep? You see the Thunder maybe getting a game or two or winning?
I mean, I feel like the Thunder, I give Russell Westbrook a game. I definitely give him a game. I see this one going five. It's just Houston is too much. And the thing that I hate about what I feel is going to happen is that Westbrook is a possibility. I feel like when I told you before in last week that he should be the MVP, I no longer feel that he will get the MVP. I still feel that he should. But I don't think
he will get
the MVP. And I think that this series is really going to show – no, I shouldn't say show. This series is going to be the reason why he doesn't, because they're going to compare, like, what did he do on a head-to-head matchup. I feel like he has a chance to get co-MVP, but that's going to be at best, because I just don't feel like he's – the way that they're going to lose this series, I just don't feel like – they're going to be able to be like, he's the MVP. Like, it's going to be co at best for him. He might mess around and lose the whole thing, which I think would be outrageous based upon the season that he had. But I could see it happen. I already know how they do when it comes to votes. I already know what they look at and everything. So, like I said, it's going to be interesting. But that's my view on it.
Word. Okay. So let's talk about we got 2 minutes left going on. So I predict probably that the Thunder go six games. I know they're going to win two. They're going to get a chance. Probably maybe a last-minute shot by Russ if he can hit one.
Mm-hmm.
And in a game at home that I know game three, the Thunder probably got unlocked. Just pure emotion, they're going to win that one.
Mm-hmm.
Quick trivia question. Okay. Let's see. So if Russell Westbrook does become the MVP runner-up, the last MVP runner-up to win the NBA championship after winning the MVP previously. You know who that was?
Well, I don't even know what the question was.
The last MVP to runner up to win an NBA championship after winning the MVP the previous season.
The last MVP to runner up. So when